Before we get into the presentation proper, I wanted to alert you that we'll be recording this Teams-based presentation in audio form only, and a copy of that audio recording will be available later this week on the bondholders' website. So I would like to start the audio recording now. So Sophie, if you could do that. Excellent. Thank you very much for doing that. Okay. Yeah. I'll do some introductions of other colleagues and the directors of the company and the project shortly. But my name is Steve Noonan, and I manage the finance activities of the company. And I'll take you through the first part of this presentation. Okay, so if you move on a page. Okay, so I'll draw your attention to the important notice and disclaimer. And then obviously this indicates certain disclaimers. We published this on the bondholders website earlier today, so you may have read it already, but in the event you haven't, I would urge you to do so. Okay, so let's move on to the contents page. Pretty self-explanatory and follows a form that we've done in previous presentations, but there'll be an opportunity for questions at the end of the presentation. So again, moving on to the agenda. We'll give you a brief reminder of the project, the key operational financial issues that the company faced over the past 12 months or so, and we'll also address the outlook for the company. As I mentioned, there'll be an opportunity to ask questions at the end. For those of you using Teams, be grateful to use raise your hand symbol. Otherwise, please sort of just shout in. And if you could state the name of your name and your organisation that you represent, I'd be grateful. Okay, so let us move on to the next slide. Yes, the welcome, which is welcome to everybody joining. This is the 7th annual investor presentation. And we have here today two directors of the company, Daniel Pires and Graham Farley, who represent the equity investors in the project, which is managed by managing on behalf of various Dalmore funds. Daniel is a Dalmore employee and joined as a director, taking over from Chris Field in June this year. Graham's been a director since early 2020, but has been involved in the project for a number of years prior to then. I'm also joined by colleagues from Frontier Power. Mike Edgar is a technical director, Hamza Malik, who's the general manager, and Tim Price, who is the financial controller. And in addition, we have L. Bullman, who represents IML, the accounting and company secretarial services provider. Mike will provide a voiceover on operational matters and the outlook, and I will mainly deal with the finance matters. Directors will be available for questions at the end as necessary. As noted on this slide, we use various industry acronyms, which you may or may not be familiar with, but these are defined in the appendix to this slide deck that you can consult as necessary. Okay, background. So as I mentioned earlier, I provide a very brief reminder of the project because you're probably very familiar with it, but and there have been no changes since the last investor report and indeed the last investor presentation. So these are laid out on the background side, you can see. This is a transmission project and is separate both operationally and commercially from the wind farm. As the slide shows, the wind farm is capable of providing clean, renewable energy to approximately 350,000 homes. However, this cannot be delivered to these homes without the transmission system that the WADS transmission project owns and operates. The project transmission assets comprise the offshore platform, two subsea cables, two land cables, and is connected to the wind farm at the offshore platform end and to the onshore grid owned by National Grid Electricity Transmission PLC at the land end in Heysham. WADS Transmission has a perpetual offshore transmission licence issued by the authority with a 20-year revenue term, as shown on this slide. That is, as mentioned earlier, the equitable interest is vested in funds managed by Dalmore, and Frontier Power provides management services to the project. IML provide financial and administrative services to WADS. And so we'll move on to the next slide, which just gives a background to the shareholders and the management and financial services provider. Dalmore will be a name familiar to you, and at the end of July, they had over 5.6 billion of assets under management. Frontier Power, for whom I represent, we're engaged in the provision of management services to the project, and our people have a wealth of experience in the utility sector generally, electricity transmission in particular, and we provide similar services to four other OFTOs. IML provide financial administrative services to projects and are experts in the provision of these and other management services to the PPP PFI sector. So let's get into the meat of the project presentation and operational performance, and I'll hand over to Mike. Mike.
So good morning. So I'll just run through over the next two or three slides the asset performance. So first of all, just talking through the health, safety and environmental performance. Ørsted, the O&M provider, undertake maintenance, inspection and functional tests of the equipment in accordance with the manufacturer's recommendations. This includes performing annual inspection and planned maintenance programmes for both the onshore and offshore substations. The particulars that are set out within the O&M contract schedules. And as part of this, they deliver the HSE management and HSE performance. Since asset transfer, which was in 2015, this has been excellent with no reportable incidents. So we're delighted to say that this is continuing. Frontier Power, in its management services capacity, performs annual physical reviews of the onshore and offshore asset condition and HSE arrangements. The main aim of this is to ensure that the O&M provider do so within a safe, environmentally considerate arrangements that are in line with good industry practice. As a result, we are confident that the O&M provider is continuing to provide a good service. Moving on to the next bullet there, the WADS does have an obligation to notify the Marine Management Organisation in the event of certain offshore activities. To the extent that they apply, we have complied with all the requirements in 2023 and indeed in previous years. COVID management, I think that, like a lot of parts of the various industries, that is, it is now becoming business as usual, and the WADS asset is maintained within government guidelines. Because it is an operational site, that there is still a good level of management around this to ensure that 24/7 cover is still provided. So testing and isolation processes are still in place, but they're not as severe as they were when we were talking last year, for example. So if I go on to the actual performance of the assets, we've had several outages this year durations, but broadly the availability for 2022 is still very high, and I'll go on to explain some of the activities that have gone on. So the first thing to note that we do, as part of the normal operation of the asset, take outages to maintain and check that the assets are in good order. And this first circuit outage that you see there on the second bullet describes a routine maintenance of a supergrid transformer 2 that we undertook in April. And along with that, we also took the opportunity to do some maintenance on some auxiliary equipment, just really trying to optimise the availability. That was undertaken in April with an impact of £125,000. We also took a short duration outage of a couple of hours on circuit 2 later on to further investigate an issue we have with a harmonic filter, which is not directly related to availability, but a necessary bit of equipment to ensure appropriate quality of supply. Unfortunately, we did have an unplanned outage of circuit two in June. Unhelpfully, it was over the cusp of issuing the investor report that you will have had the opportunity to read, but we did get the circuit returned on the 29th of June, some 3 days after the trip. And the process really was that we undertake here is when there is a trip, we go through a normal procedure to check that the asset is in good health, review the circumstances, and actually that is the process that actually takes the time. So in this case, it's checked that the insulating oil condition is in good health and that all the protection systems work correctly. And the impact of that particular outage was, as you see there, £160,000. So just looking forward for the next period of 2022, we do have a further outage of approximately 2 days to take to do some investigative work for an exceptional event claim that we are pursuing relating to a 2021 outage. And there is also some work that we will be undertaking in the new outage season in 2023 of approximately 5 days. But if I could just summarise that from an availability point of view, just to help really, is that the financial model assumptions were a 99.6% availability, taking into account the planned outages that we assume. But with the outages that the combined outages of the planned and unplanned outages that we've experienced and we expect in September, the availability will be 99.3%. So it's still a very reliable asset, essentially. So just looking at the 2023 outlook, with the 5 day outage that we're describing there, the availability is expected to be in the region of 99.6%. Let's just move on to the next slide. So this next one really is self-explanatory in terms of the warranty work. Most of the warranties have now expired, with the asset really starting to generate between 2014 and 15. As you will recall, two years ago, well, in fact, 3 years ago now, we undertook some quite extensive work on switch gear, which was under warranty. And as part of the negotiation for that work to be done, we successfully extended the warranty of that work to 2023. So that now will fall away by the end of 2023. The other thing to note is we still retain the preemptive marine management organization marine license in the event that we need to undertake any emergency work. So this is very much a risk mitigation contingency arrangement. If we need to undertake work on the cable, then we can accelerate what would otherwise be a 6 week delay prior to any work commencing. So it's very much just trying to minimize the risks such that they are to an absolute minimum. So just moving on then to the seabed mobility analysis, the picture is very much similar to last year. We haven't undertaken any further bathymetric surveys since October 2020. The advice at the time from our O&M provider was that the WADS cable burial was stable, and we're continuing with their recommendation of undertaking a bathymetric survey in 2023, we are starting to formulate plans to execute that. So the only other thing to really note is the export cable protection system. And in 2021, Ørsted, in its capacity as the generator, undertook a generator array cable inspection in the vicinity of the WADS offshore platform using a remote operated vehicle. And during that inspection, they also surveyed the WADS export cables and observed some signs of corrosion. And it's probably worth explaining what a cable protection system is so you can get a better understanding. Essentially, it is an articulated steel sleeve that encloses the export cable near the platform. This provides a physical protection of the cable and ensures that the bend of the cable is maintained within its parameters. And I suppose the best way of describing what this does, if you can imagine a vacuum cleaner or an electric iron, as the cable comes out of the appliance, there's usually quite a thick piece of plastic to try and manage that articulation. And essentially it's the same thing, but in this case it's a steel articulated sheath. And of course, the export cable itself also has an armoured steel reinforced wire sheath that surrounds it. So it's quite a heavily protected asset. But just back to the cable protection system. Whilst some level of corrosion is to be expected, the key requirement is to ensure that the cable will continue to be adequately protected over the life of the assets. So what we can confirm is that the export cables and their protection systems currently remain stable. However, we have engaged a technical expert to assess any longer term implications and to determine if any remediation is necessary. We are collaborating with the generator to manage the environment in the vicinity of the WADS offshore platform, as this also includes the generator array cables. And just to give you some sort of context there are, I think it's 12 array cables that come from the wind turbines into the offshore platform and two export cables. So anything that is done around the platform for generator array cables, we need to be aware of and work with them to ensure that any impact on the WADS assets is minimised as far as possible. So we are expecting the results of the expert analysis to become available by October 2022, which will allow us sufficient time to plan any activities, if any, that are needed for 2023. So that's where we are with the cable protection system. And just looking a little further back now in 2021, and I've referred to this briefly, talking about an outage that requires an investigation to support this exceptional event claim. But we did have an outage in July 2021. That was precipitated by a national grid fault at their local Heysham 400 kilovolt substation. Our equipment didn't quite perform as expected, and the investigation really is about why didn't it perform as expected, and we are pursuing an exceptional event claim which relates to effectively the commissioning of the asset prior to OFTO or the WADS ownership commencement. So we hope to conclude that root cause analysis in September 2022 and complete the submission of our exceptional event claim relating to 2021. And I suppose, just coming back to so what does it really mean, all of what I've explained, the cumulative reported availability through to the end of July is 99.59%, and the availability from the 1st of August 2021, which was the last time effectively you had an opportunity to discuss the performance of the WADS assets, to the 12 months hence is 99.36%. which I think still means that the asset is performing very reliably. The final thing for me to add really on this slide deck is that, and you've probably gathered this through the work that we're undertaking, is that we do maintain good relationships with our stakeholders, National Grid Electricity Transmission, who we connect into, the system operator, and Ofgem, the regulator authority. And as you see, there's also the security trustee that we deal with from the lender's perspective, and indeed the O&M contractor who looks after the assets for us. So that concludes the operational performance review. I think this is where Steve and I do a double act, and I just pass over to Steve again.
Yeah, financial performance. I'm pretty much reading out this slide, and you know, it's a good thing to say that essentially this is very boring because you don't want exciting stuff happening on infrastructure assets. So this is pretty much showing this is performing well. So the senior debt structure, which you may be familiar with, but I'll repeat it. The senior bonds outstanding at the end of June is 192.6 million. The RPI swaps are in place for 75% of the revenues being collected from National Grid Electricity System Operator. And there is, we have the advantage of the PBCE letter of credit for 15% of the bond principal, which reduces as the bond principal reduces. We've never actually drawn upon that, but it is available. The key ratios, which I will not read out, but you can see them on the slide, we're well in excess of the lockup ratios. Okay, so on the commentary for the year ended or year ending 31st of March 2023, we're collecting transmission revenue of 25.5 million from the system operator, and we collect that in 12 equal instalments. And that compares with transmission revenue of 25.3 million in respect of 21-22, but which included the collection of performance credits amounting to 1.1 relating to the performance year ended 31st December 2019. So our performance years, which are ending on December, impact the collection of performance credits for the financial year immediately following. Under normal circumstances, the performance credits ending 31st December 2019 would have been collected in the financial year commencing 1st of April 2020. But they were delayed while we went through an exception event claim. Okay, so operating costs to the end of June were in line with budget. We continue to make all our payments, but to key contracts in particular, in accordance with the payment terms agreed with those suppliers. We've met all our key financial deliverables, including the filing of regulatory accounts for the year ending 31st of March 2022 with the authority. No event of default has occurred. Cumulative debt service of the period from financial close to the end of June was 115.8 million, and that is in line with the financial close and current operational model. And the PBCE, as I mentioned earlier, has remained undrawn. And that letter of credit stands at 28.9 million as at the end of June. Okay, so I mean that's the financial headlines. So I'm going to pass on back to Mike in a double act to take you through the outlook for our priorities for the next 12 months. Mike.
Thanks, Steve. So it won't surprise you to see top of the outlook there is maintaining the high focus on health, safety and environment going forward. The next priority obviously is to maintain the high availability performance of the asset and continue really working closely with the O&M contractor and ensuring through the review process we undertake with them that they maintain and indeed improve the way that they conduct their business and as a minimum really ensure that they comply with good industry practice. As mentioned during the presentation, we do have an exceptional event claim outstanding, and we will be pursuing that claim once the root cause analysis has been completed in September. It won't be a surprise to you that we still have the draft decommissioning program that we need to get reapproved from BEIS, but the arrangements sort of provisions that support that are still not clear, and so once we get the clarification from the regulator and BEIS, then we will be able to continue with that. So just to give you some detail to that, we understand that the regulator will be issuing a consultation on the funding around decommissioning, and BEIS should be at some point, and we've tried to clarify the timescales, but they've been a bit evasive around this, on their approach to what assets need to be removed or those that can remain in situ. But that remains a focus for us, but there are a number of things out of our control, so we can't really progress it at this point in time. So that concludes the outlook that we have. And I think the next section is just inviting you to any questions that you may have. So if you, as noted, if you can just raise your hand, which hopefully you'll see on the top of your screen.
I think there's a couple of people who've dialed in, so they won't be able to do that. So just make yourself known and let us have your question.
So we'll give you a couple of minutes, and if there are no questions, that'll be fine.
Hi, can you hear me? Could I ask a question?
Please? Yes, you can, of course. If you say your name and organisation, I'd be grateful.
Yes, thank you. Good morning. It's Orlando Finzi from M&G Investments. Thank you very much for the presentation. Apologies I missed the first 15 or 20 minutes, so I'll have to listen to the replay. But could I just ask a general question in the very inflationary environment we're in, and also in terms of supply chain disruptions, is that causing you any untoward problems? I wouldn't have thought it would, but just to sort of check how you're managing through that. And then separately, did I pick up there that you had possibly some issues with the O&M provider? Just to clarify, those two for now. Thank you.
Steve Noonan here. I'll take part of the question, and then I'll ask Mike to deal with supply chain and issues in relation to the O&M contractor. In terms of inflation, I mean, you'll know, or maybe I don't know where you came when you came in, but we have in place RPI swaps in place for 75% of the revenues, essentially giving a natural hedge for those cover off the bond principles, the debt service, so we've got a good certainty about the cash inflows and the outflows. You'll be aware that the revenues from National Grid, which are being swapped, increase by RPI each year, and there's a reference to the license by reference to September to September change. So 25% revenues are not swapped, but essentially they rise in accordance with the RPI formula in the license, which will cover off any, if you like, costs that are not subject to any contractual RPI or other inflation kicker. So it'll pick up any natural increase in costs. So actually, we feel very comfortable that how the company's been structured will meet any inflation issues, if you like. up or down, but actually inflation being higher will be slightly advantageous to the company, because the revenues for the 25% will increase, likely to increase slightly more than the if you like the free floating cost base. So we don't see any particular issues in relation to inflation. So I think then I pass the mic to ask a question to answer the question about the O&M contractor on the supply chain.
Yeah. Because you've perhaps missed the first 10 to 15 minutes, and I know you'll be able to sort of replay it, but effectively the performance of the O&M provider Ørsted has been very good, and we kind of don't just take the headlines around this. We actually do physically review the assets, check the work that they're doing and the way that they're doing it, and both from a HSE and asset management perspective, we're very pleased, and we continue to be pleased with that. So apologies if you've jumped in at a point that I gave anything other than a positive view of that. In terms of supply chain, we haven't identified any issue, and nor have Ørsted, as our O&M provider, raised any issues with us. I can confirm that it's stable at the moment, and I don't think it's presenting us with any concerns. So does that address all your questions, Orlando?
Yeah, thank you. That's really helpful. So I probably just picked up a slightly wrong nuance and didn't have the context coming late. Thank you. Yes. Can I just also check in terms of the SF6 switchgear remedial work warranties extended to 23? Is it just in terms of, you know, obviously that's a very sensitive gas, and just in terms of just checking performance there in terms of any leakages and how, you know, once you're through warranties, will you just be running the risk of having to make any repairs to those if problems occur
in the future? Okay, understand. Ordinarily you would expect this equipment to maintain a near leak-free environment, and that's for the duration of the assets. And these assets, are expected to last for decades. But we're not just sitting back on that. We, as part of the O&M arrangements, we take monthly readings of the gauges to ensure and check that there are no leakages. So on the of the switch gear that was repaired, we haven't identified any leak issues at all, but we will continue to monitor that. I don't have any undue concerns with the quality of the repair and its longevity, but we're not just taking that as read. We are continuing to monitor it.
Lovely. Thank you very much, and for the presentation, which I'll listen to again when it's up and it's recording. Thank you.
Mike, I think it's Graham Farley here. I think one thing you should mention as well about supply chain and so on. We do hold a certain stock of spares anyway, which date back to financial close. So, Mike, do you want to say anything about that?
Yeah. Thanks for that, Graham. I mean, in fact, yeah, we do maintain spares, spare lengths of cable, and a number of sort of protection relays and components, and that does form part of the annual review, where we inspect the warehouses and the locations of our spares to check they're in good order, labelled, and we know what's there. Thanks for bringing that out, Graham. Are there any further questions that people would like to raise? Okay, well, assuming that there are no further questions, we'll close this call, and thank you very much for your time and attention.
Yeah, thanks everybody.
Oh, yeah, sorry, but okay. Thank you then. Bye bye.